Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yankee Nation podcast presented by Wagon Enterprises, NYC Sports Nation. I'm Austin Verhill, and along with Tim LaDuke and Nick Giovanelli, today we're going to talk about basically what we've been talking about the past, I don't know how many weeks, with the MLB's proposals to coming back, and we have the movie review with the game plan. So without further ado, how about it?
You're listening to a New York Sports Nation production, enhancing your New York sports fan experience.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk.
So, we'll start with the owners and the whole situation that they're going through with the players, where it's just this back and forth that one moment looks really, really good, and then next thing you know, it's bleak.
It's just crushed the next day.
And I want to lead off with first what has been proposed. So the MLB proposed to players where they initially agreed to prorated salaries, which we've been over, where they would get paid. They'd basically be paid for the amount of games they play. The MLB then proposed further cuts, and the issue with those is if a player was making $35 million, which is a little bit less than Gerrit Cole, he's making $36 million, he would make $7.8 million. And if a player was making $10 million, he'd get about $3 million. And here's the bigger issue. Is a player making $1 million, which is most of the league, everyone thinks that everyone's paid huge. And obviously $1 million is a lot compared to just normal everyday life.
Most people think of the Gerrit Coles, Bryce Harpers, and Manny Machados.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh,
the 30 million players won't be missing a lot. They're getting so much money anyway. But what about the rest of the league?
The majority of the league.
Yeah.
Which is making around $1 million. They'd be making about $400,000. Which is less than a rookie deal. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues with that proposal, and obviously the players said no, and there's still this whole thing like the players are selfish for not accepting it. But I mean, in a world right now where it's the most dangerous to play the game, obviously there would be safety precautions, but it'd be safer not to play than to play, and they would be doing it for such a serious pay cut. I don't.
It's not like the players don't want to play either.
Yeah, there's every day on Twitter you see a different baseball player, like, upset that they're not playing. And I can't blame them. And Nick, you sent us Max Scherzer's tweet.
Yeah.
Which crushed me.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
So Max Scherzer, who's like, he's like the leader of this whole thing. He's like the president of the 8-member subcommittee for the MLBPA. He put out on a tweet, what was it, Wednesday night, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information.
Now, if that somehow leaks, that would be like a mainstream story.
If, like, the financial records came out?
For the MLB, yeah. It would transcend just the sports world. If we find out that they're making, I'll give you an example. Another big company, and I kind of in the same kind of sports world. It's not like the WWE. They made so many cuts and currently are on track to have one of their most profitable years. In a year where they literally had no fans at WrestleMania, they cut so many people to where it's looking like they're going to make more money than ever. And if it comes out that the MLB is doing the same thing, there isn't going to be a person on this earth that is going to side with the owners.
I mean, most aren't anyway.
I would say most fans aren't.
Yeah.
I would say, like, the outside of baseball fans, I feel like most of them are against the players.
Yeah, I saw a good tweet. It said, don't these owners know that I would own a team for free? Like, we don't think about that perspective. Everyone's like, oh, I would play. These baseball players are so selfish. I would play for free. Well, I would also be an owner for free. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to get paid to own a baseball team. That'd be sweet. So the owners are also being more selfish than the players because they're the boss. They're the ones who are supposed to take the financial risk. I know it's not the same exact thing, but I walk into the barbecue restaurant and I get paid if I show up, my full salary, and if I don't go, I don't get paid that day. The fact that the baseball players are even getting a prorated salary, I think, is crazy that they accepted that. I think they should just be getting their full salary.
I mean, that's what they signed for.
Well, I understand the prorated, because when you say, if I work, I get paid, if I don't, I don't.
Yeah, but I'm an hourly worker. I'm not on salary like they are.
True. It is, it's an hourly thing, but I understand the owners asking for prorated, and I understand the players accepting it, but after that, no. We can't go lower than that.
Yeah, the owners don't want to take a loss on this season, so that crazy tiered system where every $100,000 you make going up and then up to the $20 million and all that, they put that in place so that they wouldn't lose money. It's very complex. And they either have to say, listen, we're not going to make money this year, so we're not playing, or instead of trying to negotiate it to make the players look bad. If they don't want to play and not lose money, then shut it down. They're in control. But if they want to play, then just pay the players what they're owed.
Yeah. 100%. And I still don't know. I mean, isn't it that if there's no season, the owners are going to lose more money than if they were to pay these players?
Yeah, because they still have to pay the players a little bit.
So if
they agreed, they agreed.
Eventually,
to,
they're going
to
have to budge.
Yeah.
Because the players are going to be able to survive going a year.
Well, so are the owners.
Most of them.
Yeah. But the owners aren't going to... I don't think the owners are going to want to budge. I mean, I don't think the players are going to want to budge with this. And this is
100%... No, this is as far as the players were going.
This is 100% going to trickle down to the CBA negotiations.
Which is going to suck.
We're going to go through this whole thing again.
In what, 2 years? My God.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be...
Yeah, what are the players going to ask for? They're going to want more payment up front.
Yeah, they're going to want to lower the rookie deals.
Lower?
The lower in terms of, like... No, I'm talking about, like, in terms of, like, years of control.
Years?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That is going to be, like... Oh, God.
Unless they're either going to ask for less years of control or more money during that time.
Get rid of the draft.
What do you mean get rid of the draft?
Wait, what?
Then they don't have to sign in certain slots. Then the best teams can draft them. Then you just take them for how much money they want to be rightfully paid. If the number one player was coming out of...
That would give the Yankees too big an advantage, though. You have to have a draft.
Yeah, then there would be a salary cap.
Yeah, we and the players,
The players, us and the players do not want
that. No, we do not want a salary cap.
It's one of their main things in arguing all this.
So, I mean, I don't see it getting much better.
It's been... You get, like, this uplifting thing, and it's just crushed every time. It's almost getting annoying about how we're being given like this false hope.
Yeah, on Sunday, if I didn't screw up and we recorded Sunday, this would have been a very optimistic podcast.
100%. Because what was it? MLB
is willing to negotiate. Yeah.
It said MLB is willing to compromise on a 50-50 revenue split. Players would defer their prorated salaries to future years, which I guess makes sense. They'll be getting the money, they just won't be getting it right now. And then the next day, we hear a player making $35 million would make about $7 million.
It's just like, what?
I don't know what that's all about.
Where did they even get those numbers from? That's my like. How did you go from, okay, 82 game season, it's about half the season, so you'll get half. Then they come out with, all right, if you're getting 35, we're chopping that down to 7.89, all right?
That's not even a third of what he would originally be making. So, I don't blame the players for not playing. This whole thing sucks, and I just want baseball back.
It'd be so dope to watch a Yankees game.
Yeah.
You know what I think would be a good idea? All like the Yankees classics and encores, they're all wins. I think what we should do is just play the game that was played on that date last year.
That day, yeah.
That way we don't, well, obviously we'll remember some of them, but we don't always know if it's going to be a win or a loss. So you're still watching it, not knowing the outcome.
As long as you don't Google it.
Yeah, so if you have some self-control.
Yeah, but that's still, even not knowing the outcome doesn't really do it to me, because I still know the Yankees make the playoffs.
I know it's not like Didi leaves.
You know what I watched the other day? I you know how you could like watch almost any game on YouTube?
Yeah.
I watched the game from 2011.
Oh God.
We won 22-9.
Oh my God.
We started off, we were down 7-1 in the fourth. Phil Hughes had a poor outing. I forgive him for that, though, because he's Phil Hughes. And then we hit 3 grand slams and a whole bunch of other things happened.
Oh, I remember that game.
Yeah. Only time there's ever been 3 grand slams in a game.
Yeah.
Cano, Martin, and Granderson. Jeter went off that day.
I remember Granderson's.
Martin had a really good day. I mean, he obviously had the grand slam, but he had another home run on top of that. It was very nice. I enjoyed watching that. But I think it'd be a good idea, because I'll watch, like Yankees classics for like old games that I never saw, like a game from like the 70s or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many times I've watched the 2001 World Series.
I do not want to see that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've seen the David Wells perfect game. I mean,
MLB Network shows the Bob Gibson home run, the 2001 World Series, and the Cubs World Series. That's it.
And I've seen plenty of the Derek Jeter dive game. I've seen it so many times.
Now we have 64 hours of Derek Jeter on TV.
Which,
great.
As much as I love Derek Jeter, is a little bit excessive because this is for his MLB debut, which is one day. It did not go on for 64 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours would be cool.
Yeah, like, okay, all straight Derek Jeter all day for the day of his MLB debut. That sounds great.
Yeah, that'd be really
64
cool.
64 hours? There's 13 games in that span. Like, 64? That's like, it's not even three. Why didn't they make it a full 3 days? That's another thing.
Yeah, why'd they stop at 64?
They're like, what's the significance of 64? Either way, it's just, I love the guy. He's my favorite player. He's one of the main reasons I love baseball. I could never watch 64 straight hours of just Derek Jeter.
I agree with you. I love Jeter to death. That the 3,000th home run, seeing him hit go off on in that 2011 game was so refreshing. I loved seeing that. But 64 hours is a long time for, it's not, I would get it if they did it after the Hall of Fame ceremony. Because, like, he just went into the Hall of Fame, that's huge. But it's just the anniversary of him debuting. Everyone has an anniversary of them debuting.
But 64 hours.
And that 64 number is very strange. But
I want to know why 64.
Continuing
hours.
With the talks, the MLBPA is now rebuttaling the owners. And what they are apparently asking, reportedly, shouldn't say apparently, asking is for longer than an 82-game schedule. They want around 110 is what's being reported.
That's so many doubleheaders.
Give it to me.
That's going to require a lot of doubleheaders.
I'm down.
I'm also down, man. 100%. They also are asking for full prorated salaries. So, that's the big thing. I don't think the length of the season is as big of a deal to them as the prorated salaries.
All right, so
I don't.
Well, the more games they play, the more of the prorated salary they have to pay.
100%. Yeah, true. But the thing is, if they do that, it's going to impact on next year. And I do not.
Yeah, I think
that's
what all the sports are doing.
I don't want anything to impact next year.
But what if that's the only way to get baseball this year?
I mean, if the only way, sure. But I would rather have an 82-game season and not have it impact next year than have a 110 and have an impact next year.
Yeah. But I'd also want, like, these players and owners to agree on something sooner rather than later, and that's really just not going to happen. So I'll take what I can get at this point.
Now, talking about players, I mean, the MLB teams have started cutting hundreds of minor leaguers. Now, I guess they're assuming that there's going to be no minor league season. So they're just cutting as many people as they can. But Tim brought up, I mean, if there is a season, is there just going to be a rush of signings? And, I mean, there definitely will. So, at least 11 teams have begun the process of cutting minor league players, including the Cardinals, Mariners, Brewers, Reds, Mets, Nationals, Orioles, Rockies, Braves, Diamondbacks, and Rays.
No.
Hundreds were released as of Thursday, and hundreds more will be released in the coming days, with upward of 1,000 players in total being cut.
Did you just say the A's? Or did you not? I don't remember. I couldn't.
I didn't, but bring up the A's.
So, I got two things. One of them is the A's. So the Mets are on that list, but although they are cutting a bunch of minor leaguers, they are still paying the ones that they have. They're, what, $400 a week for, I can't remember how long, but they're
for
still
like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, at least they're paying them something, I guess.
Yes.
And then there's the A's. Oakland. They're not paying their minor leaguers, and they're not cutting any. Well, as of now, anyway. And that's... It's just... Really? $400? For like... How much is that? Like a million? A year?
Total? Yeah.
And they can't afford a
million? An agent told them. An agent told either... there's so many people listed on this. There's been Passan and Heyman and Murray and Emily Walden. There's so many listed, so I don't know who told who this. But an agent told one of the insiders that 40 players per team are getting cut just so the club could save about $50,000 per month. So, I don't know what that tells you. I'll tell you what it tells you. Owners are literally scrambling over $50,000 a month when they're billionaires. And it's not that... I understand the difficulty of paying someone, even if you have a lot of money, when nothing's happening. Like, when they're not making you any money, I understand that it's hard to pay them. But even if you give them a pay cut, that's, first off, it looks so much better than just firing them, because not all of these players are going to get signed again. Some of these players, that's it. They may never play baseball again.
Facts.
What a terrible way to go out. Like, that's just horrible. You got cut because the owners just didn't want to pay you anymore.
Well, and there's not going to be
four
levels of minor leagues.
It's more than upsetting.
It's gross, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's like a disgusting feeling I get from this.
I mean, I don't... There's so many things that are hurting the game of baseball recently that it's tiring. I'll give you one day I was in class and I was wearing a Yankees hat. And someone brought up baseball, and then you just hear someone in the back going like, baseball's a mess. And he was talking about the whole Astros thing. And then immediately after the whole Astros thing, there's the Red Sox thing, which wasn't as bad, but it's something. Now, we're not playing the minor leaguers, and the reason we can't play during a pandemic isn't because of the pandemic. It's because we're too much of idiots to be able to figure out money in a way that's satisfying for everyone. I hate it so much. It hurts everyone. It hurts the game so much. That it's looked at as just this gross sport. The NFL somehow is looking better than the MLB, and the NFL is always in a PR disaster. I don't get it. Manfred is not going to be liked by anyone by the end of the year. I don't think anyone likes Manfred. I can't stand him anymore. He's literally worse than Goodell for me.
Remember when this offseason went, we got Gerrit Cole, the Astros were caught cheating, the Red Sox were cheating, the Mets fired Carlos Beltran for cheating, and everyone was like, wow, this is a great offseason for Yankee fans. And now it's May, 28th, and... It's still the off season, and it sucks for everyone now.
it's the worst thing ever. This is the worst time I've ever experienced in baseball. And I looking back, whenever we can look back, whether like in 20 years, if we look, when we look back at this time, there's going to be documentaries, probably movies about this time where it literally hurts the game. Not only because...
Not to mention the game's 3.5 hours long with no balls in play.
Yeah, so first off, and people have brought this up, so we... Baseball is struggling right now to attract younger audience because of the slower pace. Not even the slower pace, just like the no action in the time. So, right now, I mean, I wouldn't say right now because nothing's happening yet, but the NBA is looking like it's going to get started soon, and the NHL is looking like it's on its way back. So you have two huge spots there. You'll have a baseball fan who's never watched basketball in their life be like, well, there's no MLB. Let me go to the NBA, watch the basketball. And then they're 8, so they fall in love with basketball, and now they don't care about baseball anymore.
I was talking about this with my dad like a week ago. In my head, I was like, some kid in Toronto who loves the Blue Jays, like, can't watch him, and he's going to go start watching hockey in July when it starts back up again, fall in love with the Maple Leafs, and just won't care about the Blue Jays again.
And that poor kid, like, has to fall in love with the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. But, like, that's the only... That was the scenario I came up with. But, like you said, it could happen with anyone. Like, they're struggling to attract younger fans. Now they literally can't. There's nothing attracting young fans to baseball right now in terms of live baseball. They cannot, like, if you loved Aaron Judge and you're, like, a kid, you can't watch your favorite player. So, like, it just sucks. There's no other way to put it. This is, like, it's just so bad for the game. And it hurts.
Horrible.
Just keep watching it. Every day, I feel like there's no good news. There's always the, okay, there will be a new proposal by the end of the week. In my head, it's never good. Because at this point, it's either been disgusting to the MLBPA, the owners made it horrible, and we found out the details before the MLBPA said anything about it, and it's disgusting to us. And I don't know. There hasn't been good news in baseball for a while now. And it's just all the bad news is getting topped off with cutting minor leaguers every day.
Now, let's move on from that, unless anyone else has anything else to say. But, Tim, you brought up that you had... an excellent article idea.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast from Fangraphs, and they said that they have, you know, hockey has 3 stars of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you go to a Fangraphs game blog for the Yankees, they have 3 stars of the game for that too. Right? So, opening day, Tanaka, Luke Voit, and I don't remember who, were the 3 stars of the game. And I think we should start paying more attention to that, because that's pretty cool. It's, like, voted on by the fans. But I'm going to write an article to see what the correlation between stars of the game is, like, how many they have in a season, and then how much war they have, to see if there's any correlation. Because I feel like there's not really. Like, I feel like fans won't always vote for the 3 best players in each game. They'll kind of just vote for their favorite or the player who made the biggest play, so.
Yeah.
Well, we should start going to Fangraphs more for games.
That's what star of the game means. I mean,
there,
a player could go 0 for 5, but then in their sixth at bat, hit a walk off, and then he's the star of the game, even though someone else went 2 for 6 with a homer and a triple. So, and or made an outstanding play in the outfield.
Yeah.
So, the stars of the game doesn't, I guess, mean best statistical performance.
Yeah. And they also have probability added for every
player. What just happened
for that game?
Tim, you're lagging
wins,
hard. You're good now.
They have win probability added for every player in that game. So, like, Tanaka added 0.159. And in opening day, who had the worst? Chris Davis had a negative 0.04. Oof. And it also has the balls and strikes calls to see who, to see how the umpires did.
Wait, like so that. What would be the, what would be the score for someone who pitched a perfect game? Like if we were win probability.
Let's see if I can find that. What year did what's-his-name throw a perfect game?
Felix Hernandez threw one in 2012.
Okay, Seattle. Can you give me a date?
I'll find the date. King Felix, which is one of the coolest nicknames, by the way, King Felix. I love that nickname. All right, his perfect game was August 15th, 2012. 23rd in Major League Baseball history.
Pretty cool.
His win probability was nearly a win. 69.692.
That's it?
That, I mean, like...
That's like 62%.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Think about another great game that wasn't a perfect game. Okay, let's go.
Mike Fiers no-hitter last year.
Okay.
Or you could do, if you don't want to do like a no-hitter perfect game, you could do James Paxton's ALCS Game 5 performance.
Yeah, let's do that.
Which was October 18th of last year, I believe. Let me see, 2020 ALCS.
October 18th against Kershaw, or against Verlander?
Yes, it was against Verlander. I was at that game. That's how I knew the team.
Paxton gave 0.198 win probability added.
Really? He pitched a good game.
Well, like, that's like really good. That's like really high.
Wait, 0.19
It also
you said?
Shows the 0.19, yeah.
So if that's really good, then 0.62 is unreal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
So we should start looking at Fangraphs more often. They got so much good information here. Second star of that game was Zach Britton. First star of the game was Aaron Hicks.
Oh, it's his first
home run.
That was his dinger against JV, right?
Let me tell you something. He is so unbelievably clutch. It's
yeah, he does have the clutch gene.
It's crazy. And also, why doesn't he always bat left-handed? I understand.
His dingers left-handed look so good.
I understand it doesn't like work that way because of matchups. But he's just so much better from the left side. It's Teixeira was too.
Yeah.
When I picture Teixeira, he's always on the left side.
That's how I picture Hicks. Whenever I think of an Aaron Hicks home run, I see his home run again. What was that home run where he, after he rounded first, he like yelled and like flexed? Oh, I can't think.
Was that his 3 home run game against the Red Sox?
I think so.
Because I was at that one also.
Man, like, I'm pretty sure that was hit left-handed.
It was. I think 2 of them were left. 1 of them was right. I think. I could be wrong. Then
his home run against Verlander was left-handed. Whenever I think of a Hicks home run, it's left-handed.
Yeah.
All right, and remember we talked about TOPS Plus?
Wait, can I just say one more thing about the whole left-handed, right-handed thing? The only player that, like, I feel is, like, a true switch hitter, like, I look at and I don't picture them on one side of the plate, is Jorge Posada. That's it. Everyone else is either a lefty or a righty to me. And obviously they're not. But in terms of what I picture, I feel like Jorge Posada is the only one that I feel comfortable with him on both sides of the plate. Okay, Tim, you can continue.
So we talked about TOPS Plus, which shows how much better you are or worse for your splits. Like we were talking about Blackman playing in home and away. So Hicks's platoon split, when he's a lefty, his TOPS Plus is 105, and his right-handed TOPS Plus is 98.
Yeah, so someone's better from the left.
And he's worse than average. He's worse than his average when he's batting right-handed, and he's better than his average when he's batting left-handed.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't wrong.
Just some food for thought.
Yeah, I mean,
and when he's a righty batting against right-handed batters or pitchers, which I don't know why he would do that, he's done it 8 times in his career. His TOPS Plus is 12.
All right. Well.
He's batting 250. Oh, he's batting 143. Never mind.
Yeah, someone's got to stick to switch hitting.
Oh, wait a second. I was wrong. I was looking at... Oh, my God. Guys.
Yes.
His TOPS Plus as a lefty is 98, and his TOPS Plus as a righty is 105. I had it backwards.
Wait a minute.
In his career, this is his career stats. Maybe I can check last year.
That's very interesting.
Well,
last year
was much better.
Last year he was much better?
Yeah, 110 as a lefty, 73 as a righty.
Oh, goodness.
You know what? Switch hitting as a lefty in Yankee Stadium does help.
Good call.
True, but I also feel like it's just harder to pitch to lefties.
Not when you're a righty.
And I think most...
Or not when you're a lefty. Wait.
I think Pete Rose might have said this, or Mark Teixeira. I think most switch hitters are usually start at the left side. Like, they're naturally left-handed. And then they'll go over to the right side also. I know my sister's like that, because she was a lefty, and then whenever me and my brothers, whenever we would teach her to play a game or something, and we'd show her how to throw something, we threw it from our right hand. So then she would do the same thing. And now she could just sort of do both.
My brother plays hockey left-handed for some reason.
Well, good for him. That'll make him a lot more money.
We don't play hockey, though. We do, if we're playing in gym class, he uses a left-handed stick. I don't know why.
That's what my dad does. He never played hockey either, but if I were to give him a right-handed stick, he'd be like, you got a lefty?
Yeah.
Interesting. But one day I should try a left-handed stick.
Shout out my dad for dinner.
What did he bring you?
Me and him are on the keto diet right now, so no carbs, but I got that grilled chicken breast, asparagus, broccoli, a little salad with tomato and raspberry on it.
Go off, Gregory. My gosh, he killed that.
We were chefing. No carbs, no problem.
Yeah, I would never do that.
It's not easy, man. The LBs are dropping like flies, though, man. I'm losing pounds. It's crazy.
We liked it.
I weigh 115.
Yeah, I believe you.
Okay, buddy. Didn't you say last pod you were like around 200? What is this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem.
Dropped 85 pounds in a week, imagine.
Here's my thing. Are you still working out, though?
Yes, but I'm not doing my heavy lifting that I do to build muscle. I'm doing at-home workouts on video and running much more.
See, that's always the part of the gym I don't go to.
The running part?
Yeah.
I hate running.
Running sucks, but
it's
so
not.
Good.
It's not even that it's like hard, and it is hard. Obviously, the further you go, the harder it gets. But the issue with me is it's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing fun about it.
I usually just, if I go on the treadmill at the gym, I put my phone up on the thing and just start watching a video.
It doesn't do it for me. It just distracts me from it. I can't do that. No, I'll talk about distracts me. Like, the treadmill distracts me from the show.
Try putting a t-shirt or a towel over it. Because when you're watching the numbers, it doesn't go very far. But if you were to put the towel up, watch a video, and then after the video, check out, you'd be like, whoa, I went way farther than I thought.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
I can't look at those numbers, man.
You know, when my gym finally opens up, I may have to try that.
Nah, also, screw cardio. Just lift weights. That's what I'm going to do when the gym's open back up.
Also, well, I feel like the cardios would get the abs in. And true. That's what I need those to come in by summer. But, I mean, it's not going to happen by summer.
You got to do your core lifts. Deadlift, squat, bench. And then run. And you'll have abs.
Deadlifts. Oh, boy.
I honestly love deadlifts. You know what it is? Same. It's because the reason I love it so much is because you could tell those worked.
Uh-huh.
It hurts like hell, but like at least you know something's happening.
It here. Shouldn't hurt.
Well, you get sore the next day.
Okay. Yeah. Man, I've seen some real noobs at the gym trying to deadlift. And like you have to tell them to stop. Because they're going to freaking kill themselves. Like, just doing all back. Oh, my God. I don't ever tell them to stop, but, like, other people are like, yo, bro, you can't do that.
Do you have that one monster? Every gym has one monster.
There's, like, at school there's three or four.
This guy, he walks in. He has no shoes on. He doesn't like to lift in shoes.
So annoying.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I don't really care. But he comes in with no shoes, and he starts at, like, he always does, like, one set of 135, which is, I mean, that's what I deadlift, is I usually do 135. Then he throws on two more plates on each side.
Then, 315.
Yeah, then he does the dude went up to, I think, I don't remember the exact number, but it was over 500.
Jeez. And how is your bar that big?
He's screaming with no socks on. Like, I can't. I always did it. Like, whenever I saw him walk into the gym, I would do it so, like, his set was during my rest.
Uh-huh.
And then I would do my set during his rest. Also, he rested for, like, 20 minutes in between. So if he was using something that, like, you wanted to use, you'd be like, okay, that's going to be my last workout of the day.
Uh-huh.
Save that one for last. Respect the dude, though, because, I mean, he is big. But what were we talking about?
Well, I have a transition. Speaking of hitting the gym,
yeah.
I guess The Rock hit the gym after filming this movie because he was puny.
I wouldn't say puny.
He wasn't as big as he is,
but he was definitely toned.
I mean, sometimes it didn't even look like him.
Yeah. You know what kind of threw me off? The hair.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, I feel like you guys know movie star Rock, and I know more wrestler Rock.
Yeah, that must be it.
And this was more wrestler Rock than it was movie star Rock. And let me tell you, I watched this movie so many times, and I watched it again, even though I didn't need to.
What movie, Austin?
Oh, The Game Plan. So, here's the thing. I didn't need to rewatch this. I could have told you everything that happened in it. But I did rewatch it. And I got cut off in the middle of watching it because we got a new puppy today. And they walk in with this little tiny thing, literally the size of my hand. No lie, like, well, obviously not I'm not talking about length, but, like, if I put my hand on her, I cover up all of her. So, this tiny little pup comes in, and it's during the sad part of the movie, so I'm already emotional, and this puppy comes in, and I melt, and it was the weirdest mix of emotions I've ever experienced, because I'm so happy because look at this puppy, but Peyton may have to go back with Aunt Karen. By the way, how appropriate that her name was Karen. My God. I always hated her. Ever since the first time I watched that movie. Couldn't stand her. Tim, I'm more interested in your thoughts of the movie than anyone else's here. So what were your thoughts of this movie?
Well, this is where we get a little interesting because I did not know I had seen the movie. And then I started watching it. I'm like, wait, this seems familiar. And I'm like, oh, wait, I liked this movie when I was little. But then I came to the realization that I didn't grasp any of it when I watched it when I was little. And then I'm like, maybe kids shouldn't be allowed to watch movies until they're like 15 so that we don't waste time. Like, I wasted my time watching that movie because things were just happening and I did not get them. But now I do because I'm older. So I think I'm going to ban movies for kids until they're like 10, 15 maybe. No point. There's no point of a little kid watching that movie because, like, I didn't get it when I was little. But now I do. It's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I guess not. But how about how, like, that was such a crazy, nuanced way for a little girl to tell her long lost father that she's his daughter. Like, she's like, he's not looking for me.
He's looking at me.
There's no way.
Yeah.
A little girl would say that.
You're right.
That's so complex. But yeah, that's a good movie. Second time I've seen it. Good movie.
There's a few things in there that are a little bit off, but I still forgive because it's just such a good movie. Yeah. One of them is he is in practice. This was after he ate the cinnamon cookies. Which is, I quote that so much. I quote, I'm allergic to cinnamon so much. And whenever I hear cinnamon, but no one ever understands the reference. So I do that all the time where I quote unrelated things. And this is probably the biggest one. But when after he ate the cookie, which gave him an allergic reaction and he couldn't talk, he was calling a play and he goes, on one, break. And they break or whatever and he goes into the play. But when they do the play, they hike it on two.
Hmm.
Which I was like, I don't know. You said on one, and they all went off on two. So I feel like they just threw in,
like plays.
I feel like what they did was they threw in things they thought everyone would understand. Because everyone knows on one. Everyone's heard that. But no, I don't think everyone knows what it means. And then whenever people hike, I mean, like, the stereotypical thing is to hike it on the second one. Where you go, ha-hike. Like, that's just the stereotypical thing. So I think that's what they did so everyone would get it. But it's such a beautiful movie. I mean, the way it blends football and ballet, and I mean, the way it's all, the only thing that I wish is I wish The Rock or Joe Kingman, I wish it was established that he got with the ballet teacher.
I mean, I always kind of figured that.
I think it's implied. But I wish it was, like, known. Like, they showed, like, a wedding ceremony at the end. Also, she says that all the parents have to support the place or whatever, like the ballet school. But he was the only parent in the play. Why'd he have to be a tree? But no one else had to be a bush.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. Now, where would I rank this? I say it every week or every episode that I have to start writing it down. But I don't think I'm ever gonna write them down. Like where I've rated everything. Onward has been my highest rated. What was my lowest rated? What was that movie we just watched? It was horrible. Undrafted. Oh my god. It was horrific. Everyone go watch it. It's on Hulu. We've seen Goodfellas, and that was rated very highly. But I think this, I might have seen this movie more than I've seen any other movie. This might be the movie I've watched the most. So I have to rate it highly, and I'm going to. I'm giving it an 8.7.
Hmm.
So where are you guys rating it?
6.1.
It's a solid.
Yeah,
solid.
I'd go like 6.3-ish.
You know what else is so good for me in this movie? Like what? When I first started watching it. Like whenever it came out in 2007, so it was 8. Madison Pettis was like my first crush. And The Rock was in it, which I loved. And you know who my favorite singer was growing up? Elvis. This movie had everything I needed when I was growing up. It was wonderful. I loved the whole thing. But Tim, now it's time for you to pick a movie. What are you going for?
The Rookie. Disney Plus. Baseball movie. 2002.
Now, you're the one who did Rookie of the Year, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a very different concept than the Rookie of the Year. Instead of being a little kid, it is an old man.
Really? So it's just like, it's basically, what was that movie that I thought was kind of overrated that we watched? That baseball movie where he got shot?
The Natural?
Yeah.
The Natural. Yes, it's kind of like The Natural.
So let's see. A high school baseball coach gets a second chance as a big league pitcher. That's the whole description?
A Texas baseball coach makes the major leagues after agreeing to try out if his high school team made the playoffs.
Oh, here, I have a better one. High school coach Jim Morris, which is played by Dennis Quaid, thought his dream was over. He had his shot at playing baseball, blew out his shoulder, and retired without ever reaching the big leagues. Then, in 1999, he made a bet with his perpetually losing team. If they won the district championship, Jim, who threw a 98-mile-per-hour fastball, would try out for the majors. The team went from the worst to first, and Jim was soon on the road to become the oldest rookie in the major leagues. Dennis Quaid. I mean, that's the only name I recognize. And I just recognize the name. I don't think I've seen him in anything.
Huh.
So. I mean, your track record's not great for picking movies, but hopefully this is one of the good ones.
Looks good.
I mean, it's on Disney Plus. I don't think they allowed bad movies on there.
Nah, I've been watching the same dumb movie forever.
What movie is that?
I can't finish it.
What?
Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah.
Is that like a ripoff of 2.5 Men?
No, it's older than that.
Three Men and a Baby. 1987. Handsome men trade wine, women, and song for crib, pacifier, and diaper.
That doesn't include the fact that there's a lot of drugs in the movie.
Oh.
Take three Hollywood stars, played by Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, and Ted Danson. Add one adorable baby girl, and the result is an unbelievably hilarious blockbuster comedy.
Nope.
Three handsome Manhattan bachelors find their dating and mating rituals irreparable damage when an unexpected new roommate, complete with crib pacifier and dirty diapers, shows up on their doorstep. This bouncing bundle of joy is anything but joyous until the trio's hilarious fathering instincts take over and she becomes daddy's girl to all three. Blanketed with unexpected story twists and endless laughs, Three Men and a Baby deliver pure delight for all.
Dude, there's significant drug use, and like, it's like a major plot line.
It is rated PG.
Yeah, okay.
Are you watching the right movie?
Yes, I'm watching this movie.
Also, how does a baby just show up?
Yeah, I didn't get to that part yet.
You didn't even get to the baby.
I don't even. Oh no, the baby. They haven't explained why the baby's there.
What?
No.
Wait. So it starts like when it starts, they already have the baby.
No, the baby gets dropped at the door.
We don't know by who.
No, we think we might.
Did they call the police?
Nope, big platfall.
Oh. Yeah, like this. They're like, oh, you know what this
means.
We'll
take care of this forever.
You know what this means. We have to take it in.
No, they go a step further and hide it from the police, which is bad.
What? That's kidnapping.
Strange. But the police weren't looking for the baby. They were looking for drugs.
Whoa, okay.
Sounds like a very strange movie.
I feel like you're watching.
I don't really get it.
Like,
man, I kind of wish you picked that movie.
Should we watch that for the?
100%. Yes, let's watch that.
Okay, I still want to watch The Rookie though.
That could be your next one.
Okay.
We have to watch Three Men and a Baby.
I've already spoiled most of it. Actually, no, because I don't know what happens.
No, you sold me on it. It's what you did. You didn't spoil it. You sold it.
All right, the baby cries for about 25 minutes.
It's like Sandra Bullock in Gravity. That movie was so bad. That movie was basically Sandra Bullock just screaming in space. I hated that movie. Was it even Sandra Bullock? I don't know. Yes. I hated that movie. We went like a day or two after the Oscars, because they're like, this won a lot of Oscars. Dude, it didn't look good. The acting was horrible. The only good person in that movie was George Clooney, and he died within like the first 20 minutes. That movie sucked. I hated it.
Don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
I just did. When did that come out? It was 2013? Ugh. What an awful year that was, huh? Yeah, it was Sandra Bullock.
Why was 2013 so bad for you?
It was middle school, dude. I mean, Sandra Bullock.
Me too. But like,
there was only... This whole movie had 8 people in it. Sandra Bullock, who for some reason was named Ryan. George Clooney. Ed Harris. Faldutch Sharma. Basher Savage. Amy Warren. Orto, last name that I can't pronounce, and Adam Cousins. That's the whole movie. Wait. Tell me this has a good rating. I will smack whoever rated it.
I mean, if it won a lot of Oscars, like you said, it should have a
pretty good rating. The Oscars it won was like, best looking. It has a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes. Are you kidding me? Did people watch it?
I mean,
it was intense. It was just the same thing over and over again. They say it's just everything that went wrong, like everything that could go wrong went wrong. It wasn't complex though. It was just like she went outside of the spaceship. I bet she won't be able to get back in. Oh, would you look at that? She can't get back in. Dude, the movie was horrible. Ugh. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. We're going to watch 3 Men and a Baby, which hopefully will be much better than Gravity. And go Yankees.
Go Bills. Hopefully by the next time we talk, we have good news for baseball.
Gerrit Cole is a New York Yankee and should be getting paid at least half of his salary if there's 82 games in a season, not 7.9 whatever.
Milk did that by
Gerrit God. Cole is a New York Yankee, everybody. Isn't that nuts?
Elevator going up. In the gleaming corridor of the 51st floor, the money can be made if you really want some more. Executive decision, a clinical precision, jumping from the windows filled with indecision.